Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, August 1st, 2018, and today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 89, the third paragraph, which begins, "Perhaps you are not acquainted with," and we're going to read two paragraphs. Today's readers are Nancy T. on the 12 Steps, Susan S. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Stephanie L., Liat T.D., and Penny L.C. The reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, Tuesday, July 31st, 2018, is 11,726. And for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, August 1st, 2018, the reference number is 11,732. And our newcomer greeter today is Melanie C. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nancy T. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning. Nancy T., compulsive overeater, recovered in Lewiston, Idaho. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy T. And now I'll ask Susan S. to read our 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you. This is Susan S. I. There's more than one Susan in Florida. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on AA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for AA membership is the desire to stop drinking. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6, an AA group are never endorsed, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions. Every imanya is to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Susan S.I. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we are resuming our study on page 89 of the Big Book, the third paragraph. And I am going to ask Stephanie L. to get us started.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Perhaps you are not acquainted with any drinkers who want to recover. You can easily find some by asking a few doctors, ministers, priests, or hospitals. They will be only too glad to assist you. Don't start out as an evangelist or reformer. Unfortunately, a lot of prejudice exists. You will be handicapped if you arouse it. Ministers and doctors are competent, and you can learn much from them if you wish. But it happens that because of your own drinking experience, you can be uniquely useful to other alcoholics. So cooperate, never criticize. To be helpful is our only aim. When you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, find out all you can about him. If he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. You may spoil a later opportunity. This advice is given for his family also. They should be patient, realizing that they are dealing with a sick person. And, you know, when I first got to OA, I thought I was worse than everybody else. I thought I was that person who was constitutionally incapable and you didn't understand because I have it so much worse than you do. And I had a sponsor early on who said, Stephanie, the only way that you are terminally unique is in your ability to help another compulsive overeater. And I thought about that and thought, I mean, I really didn't hear it then because I was still in the food, but I reflect on that a lot. My experience makes me uniquely qualified to reach my hand out to the still suffering compulsive overeater and to be able to help them. You know, and as it says here, it says this, that, you know, we can be uniquely useful to other alcoholics. We can put, you know, I can put my hand out and I can help somebody who, you know, just like the person who put her hand out to me, shared her experience, strength, and hope to me, and helped me believe that recovery could be possible for me too. And then, you know, that second paragraph where it says we don't waste time. If someone doesn't want to stop drinking, there are so many people out there dying in this disease. who want and are willing to do the work to, you know, to recover. And if I am spending my time working with someone who's not willing to do the work, because it's one thing to say, I've got to stop, I've got to stop. I was that person. I was that person who used to say to sponsors, I'm willing, I'll do anything. I have to stop. I need to stop. But deep down in my heart, I was not truly ready to stop. I spent many years in this disease, in this program, and I am so grateful to all of the sponsors who said, you know what, you're not ready. I need to go help somebody else. Because if they hadn't done that and if they had enabled me, it may have gotten in the way of me finding and hitting my bottom. So when I'm sponsoring someone, you know, that's, I need to, and it's really funny because I, you know, if I continue to work with someone who's not willing to do the work, then in effect, I'm trying to play God. I think I can cure this person. You know, I have to take off my God cap or my God cape, stop playing God, and, you know, give that person the opportunity to, whether it's they need to go out and do some more eating, whatever it is, and then go find someone else who is willing to do the work and, you know, is willing to do the work in order to recover. And then that last sentence, they should be patient, realizing they are dealing with a sick person. You know, I have to remember that, you know, I am sick in this disease, and so is that person walking in the door. There's no place for judgment. There's no place for getting on a high horse. And I'll tell you, if I had gotten here and someone had preached to me and someone had said, you do this, 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 and this, and had, you know, tried to, I don't know, had acted as if they were better than me and were pushy, I would never have stuck around. I would never have stayed here. I have to remember that when I am dealing, you know, whether it's a family member or someone in program, I am dealing with a sick person, and I need to give them the same patience, tolerance that I would, you know, anybody else, a sick friend or whatever the case is. And, you know, I'm so grateful that I get to reach my hand out and I get to be of use, and that my higher power gets to use me to help the still suffering compulsive overeater. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie L. Okay, who would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Ginger C.
Yeah, C.
Julie E. B.
Okay, one second. Ginger, Liat, CD.
Rachel E.
Who else?
Jen A.
Jen A. I think I might have missed someone else after Liat, CD. Was there someone else? Okay, I have Ginger C, Liat, CD, Rachel E, and Jen A. I can take a few more names.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen
Sherry
O.
KB.
Sherry KB. Okay, let's stop there. So we have Ginger C, Liat TD, Rachel E, Jen A, Kathleen O, and Sherry KB. Please share with us, Ginger.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you for your service this morning. This is Ginger C, recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And these pages, oh my gosh, yesterday's paragraph blew me away. And then this one, it just never stops. This book is just unbelievable. So uniquely useful. Why are we uniquely useful? You know, and thank God it tells me at the beginning of this book that I have depth and weight. And that can save and avert someone from misery and death. My experience, strength, and hope, my story. And that's why it's so unique, too, because it's my story. My story is not your story. And that's why it's so important that we all keep sharing our story, because your story could save someone where mine may not tap into them. But what's so important before we even give them the information from these clear-cut directions is that they have identification. They have to feel like when my sponsor talks about sugar addiction and relates it to shooting up with heroin, I'm like, game on. You don't even know me, and I haven't even opened my mouth to you, but you know me. That's exactly how I am. I am crazy when it comes to sugar, out of control. So thank God, because to be helpful is our only aim. And I have to be really careful, you know, as much as the big book has saved my life, and I know that, it may not be the answer for everybody, and who am I to shout it and to say that this is the only way? And I have to be really careful. I see that in OA meetings where people, you know, the OA literature may be working for others and working just fine. I've heard it from speakers that are on this line, that that was one of their main ways that they found this recovered state of mind and body. So again, I want to be as helpful as possible to all. So I just carry my experience, strength, and hope, and I just say what's worked for me. And I don't know what's going to work for you, but I know you lack power as an addict, and I hope you can tap into that power. And then the most important, this ending sentence of remembering that this is a sick person. And sometimes I think I get frustrated because it's like, God, just do it and keep it simple and don't ask so many questions. Just get busy, because when I get busy, I get better. But they're sick and they're scared. And I was too. And I need to remember that. I had so many calls to my sponsor at the beginning because I was so afraid of eating. And I didn't know why it would work this time. All I knew was the recycle and the relapse of, you know, eating. So I got to practice compassion and I got to just be gentle. You know, I got to be with these directions. And I'm not trying to save anyone here. They have to be convinced. But it's scary at the beginning. So just a great reminder for all of us. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Leah TD, please share with us.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. Thank you. Thank you for your service. And I was looking at this morning, and this passage just reminds me, you know, again, I mean, and that my ego, you know, yeah, I have to work with others, but I have a problem. I have a ego construction, like a reconstruction ego machine in me. It reconstructs itself, and I forget that I'm sick. I forget that I'm, you know, I need this program just as anyone else. And I become a preacher and a, you know, and a reformer. And so the part that I love here is, you know, find out who that person is. You know, when I'm talking with a new prospect, if someone is approaching me, you know, is it an old timer that wants to deepen their spiritual experience? Is it a newcomer that is clueless? What is their spiritual background? To really know the person that is in front of me, to pocket my pride and my knowledge, and to really learn about the person that is in front of me so I can maybe able to be of utmost help to him if I could. And, you know, my job is to continue and enlarge my spiritual condition to smash that ego that I have, and to truly, you know, it says love and tolerance is our code, to be patient, to be loving, to be understanding, to really, to be that channel to God. And I was, and there's two stories that I was thinking about. One is, you know, that disciple that goes with his students, and he sees the stars, and he points with the finger at the stars, and they're looking at his fingers rather than the stars. So my job is to lead them, hopefully to guide them, to see the star, not to see my finger. And, you know, and I was one more thing that I read the other day about the window, you know. I am a window. I'm not the light. You know, my job is to keep that window clean, to open the drape, and to let the light shine through. You know, I'm just a channel. So I need to remember that. And I need to work to get to that. I need to keep cleaning that window. Hopefully I can shine, the light can shine through me. I love you all, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Leah TV. Rachel E., please share with us.
Good morning. I had a tongue flip. I'm Rachel N.M.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Go ahead, Rachel.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Rachel, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater and anorexic from Ohio. And I just love the thought about being uniquely useful to others. And my thoughts this morning are the difference between how I can be uniquely useful to those in the rooms and uniquely useful to those out of the rooms. And it's a little easier for me to share with those in the rooms, and I can usually tell my story right away, and people relate. Please just give me a couple minutes. I'll be right. I'll check with you in a minute. But when I talk to people, friends and people in church out of the rooms, I find that I think that the most way that I can be useful, uniquely useful, is when they share about their troubles with food and just to humbly say, I can relate. And then as the conversation goes on, it's not like that for me anymore. And just leave the door open with humility and they can seek further if they like. A change for me is that I don't have to tell my whole story immediately, but rather I can just be a relate ability and an open door for someone who maybe isn't at the same point in their path. Thank you for letting me share, and thanks for being there. I pass.
Thank you, Rachel MN. Jen A., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Jen A., recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. I love that we get to this chapter, right? It's part of the textbook. It's part of my learning process, and it teaches me specifically how to work with others. It doesn't tell me I'm going to carry others. It doesn't tell me I'm going to cure others. It doesn't tell me I'm going to save others. That I have to leave up to God. And that's one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in this practical program of action is that when it comes to the process, I have to lay the God card down and let God be God and let me be me. And that's the beauty of this transformational process, right? Because before, I mean, as a codependent, I know I just want to save the world and save everybody. Now, right, I'm recovered and I found this amazing solution and I want to go out and tell everybody. I want to shout from the rooftops, you know, I want to share it with every person who's suffering in the rooms, right? That's me. I'm Miss Congeniality, I'm the cheerleader, I'm the Tigger bouncing through the room, and this specifically tells me what I'm supposed to do and not do. In fact, in this chapter, there are 150 suggestions in working with others as to how I should do it. And, you know, what's really interesting is I love this chapter because, you know, when you start working with someone, I'll never forget. I was like, oh, do I have to have everything right? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? No, I got to read this chapter. I've got to understand. And then I've got to ask God to use me. God, use me. Let me share my experience, strength, and hope to be a light to somebody else who's in the dark. And it's just that easy when I allow God to do the work and I'm not doing it. So I'm totally grateful for this. And I'm really, really glad for this first promise at the beginning, right? Because the promise is, because of my own compulsive overeating, anorexia, and bulimic experiences, I can be uniquely useful to others in this program. And you know what? That's how I'm just going to suit up and show up to be today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jen A. Kathleen O., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Perhaps you are not acquainted with any drinkers who want to recover. Well, this is written back in the 30s when they didn't have the technology we have. So that certainly isn't the problem today, and especially on this line, because I believe there's over 2,000 people on the phone list. So it's very easy to find people who want to recover. And the sentence, but it happens that because of your own drinking experience, you can be uniquely useful to other alcoholics. And I can be uniquely useful only because I totally get people who are compulsive overeaters. You know, most of us on this line, I mean, we're from all different walks of life, but we can absolutely 100% relate to each other. I can sit down with another compulsive overeater who gets me, I get them, and talk for hours about what this is like. And we can totally relate. We may not be able to relate to anything else, but we can relate to this. And, you know, if he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. So I will sometimes think, oh, I wish I had done this in my 20s and not waited until my 50s. And the truth is, I was brought to OA in my 20s, and I didn't stay. I left. I didn't even stay through the first meeting. I left before it was over. So I wasn't ready. I mean, clearly I wasn't ready. And, you know, the part of, is the prospect ready? And a couple things about being ready. Some of my prospects want recovery, but they're not ready because they're unwilling to go to any length. And some still want to hold on to trigger foods or trigger behaviors. Some are waiting for the perfect sponsor. And the truth is, if you're ready, you're going to be willing to put down the food and have entire abstinence. You're going to show up for your phone calls with your sponsor, and you're going to work these steps like your hair is on fire without any excuses. I'm sorry. And someone on this line once said, if you're really ready, Mickey Mouse can sponsor you. So if you're ready, you're just going to jump in. Just jump in. The water's warm. This program works. It is attraction rather than promotion. I can't make anybody do it. I can be there if they want help. And Bill's stories is a perfect example for people to identify in. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Sherry KB, please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your service, Kathy, and everybody on the line. Welcome newcomers, if you're new. And working with others. I heard somebody say it's not fighting with others. It's working with others. And, you know, to be helpful is our only aim. I cannot be an evangelist preaching from my rooftop about how amazing this program is and this is what you need to do and this is why you need to do it and blah, blah, blah. You know, I remember being told once that, you know, I'll take you through the steps, but I'm not going to drag you through them. I'll guide you through them, but I'm not going to drag you through them. And I know that sometimes I've gotten calls from people. I feel like I'm being interviewed as a sponsor to find out if I'm everything they want or whatever or need. And, you know, I just told them, like it was said on this line just earlier, you know, Mickey Mouse could sponsor you if you really want this. And I don't, you know, I love the word that they're using, prospect. This is where it comes from. We hear about the word prospect. And it's not about, for me, it's not about trying to convince somebody about this. It's like I want to work with people who want to do it, not just need it. There's so many people that need it. We don't have enough room for everybody that needs it, but we do have room for people who want to do it because we want to stay recovered and we want to help you, and that is our only aim, is to really to help you. However, you know, if you don't want help, then I'm not the right fit for you. That's what I'll tell somebody. You know, if you're not willing to do these certain things that are directions in the book, I can't be of good service to you. I can't help you. And I know I'm not supposed to help everybody, but I remember my step guide telling me, Sherry, you need to get as many people out of the water into the boat. And if they don't want to do it, you need to move on. And so I won't chase anybody. I don't want to coach anybody, but I do want to be helpful. And I know that love, patience, and tolerance is my code. And, you know, the fact that they're using, that they say we're dealing with a sick person. I remember reading this years ago, but I had not really read the entire big book or went through it. And, you know, a sick person is, we have a spiritual dilemma. We have a twofold illness. And when we're in our disease, we are sick people. And, you know, it's, and I have to remember that because I've been there myself. And I do have compassion and I do have patience, but I also know that I want to work with people who want to do this work. What else did I want to say about this? If I try to preach to somebody, I'm handicapping myself and this person. And I had too many people doing that with me when I was being sponsored, and I don't want to do that to somebody else. I do it with dignity and respect to them. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Okay, we can take another group of people who would like to share.
Ann B.
Sunny S.
Rocky A.
Rocky A. Was that Diane I heard? Okay, Ann B. and Rocky A. Was there a third person? I'm sorry?
Deborah P.
Deborah P. Anyone else? Okay, we'll continue.
Robin P. in Los Angeles.
Robin P. in Los Angeles. And then there was someone else.
Kathy, can you clear the line? Because there's somebody who's unmuted and there's a tapping noise that's kind of constant right now.
Okay. You know, I personally can't do it, but I think either Melanie or Leah will do that for us. Can you clear the line for us, please? Okay, Leah's going to do it.
Did you have room for another chair?
Yes, who else would like to share?
Ashley W.
Ashley W. And is there anyone else? Okay, we have Ann B., Rocky A., Deborah P., Robin P., and Ashley W. Please go ahead, Ann.
Hi, this is Ann B., compulsive overeater. I've always disliked that word recovered, but I have been imperfectly abstinent for 13 years. And in terms of working with others, you know, I have mild Asperger's syndrome. And that means that I'm not as charming as some people. And it means people tend not to choose me as a sponsor. I've seen people choose as a sponsor someone who has 90 days of abstinence over me. And I can get really easily into a resentment over that. But I've had a couple of times, I've had three times now, someone come up to me and say that I spent time with them after their first meeting or during first meetings. A couple of times I've been at a very small meeting where there was only me and a newcomer, and I just converted the meeting over into talking to the newcomer. And I've spent like an hour talking to someone. And I've had three people come back to me later, even though they never returned to the meeting where they met me, or I never saw them as a sponsee, who are now active in program and who attribute talking to me for an extended period of time as their inspiration for starting program, even though they chose another sponsor. And so I know that I am nevertheless able to help others, even though they may not choose me as a sponsor. And alternatively, too, sometimes I get sponsees who aren't very charming, who other people don't want to take because they're not very charming. And they talk too long, or they're always griping or whatever it is. And I realize I have to be grateful for the people who are willing to have me as their sponsor, even if they're not very charming. sometimes those are people who really do want to recover, not being charming is one of those things that leads to addiction in the first place, because if we're not charming, we're more likely to be rejected. So, and not have connections. So that was my reaction. So I will pass.
Thank you, Ann B. Rocky A., please share with us. Rocky, press star 1 to unmute.
Hello, can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Oh, I was struggling with the system. So good morning. This is Rocky. I recovered in Tempe, Arizona. So I've been working with others, when I got it, I was like on fire. I did like Bill. I wanted to go and get everybody and their mother and tell them and just share the good news. But not everybody wanted to hear what I had to say. And so it took me some time to, like, okay, not be codependent and try to save everyone. So I do, like most of everybody has shared today, you know, when somebody asks me to sponsor, I always say yes. And I let them, you know, work their recovery. I'm just a tool, and I do tell them, I'm just a tool, and I'm not going to work your recovery for you. You won't need me. You call me. I'm here. You don't call, well, I won't call you. And so it was awkward and weird to get to that point because I'm codependent, right? I wanna help everybody. I want to save everybody, but that was not helping me because then I would get into resentment. And so if we stop to the old-timers, I would encourage you to say yes and just let people work their recovery. And to the newcomers, I hope that you're really, really desperate to go to any length and get on the phone and call because it works. And so with that, I will pass. Have a good day.
Thank you, Rocky A. Deborah P., please share with us. Press star one, Deborah.
Yeah, I'm here. This is Deborah P. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Deborah P., recovering compulsive overeater from Northern California. Wow, what a great meeting. You know, this really hit home for me because I'm back after an eight-year relapse. And during that 8 years, I had 12 years of that back-to-back abstinence. And when I was abstinent before, it was like, it was different. And I was like a cheerleader. And during my 8 years of relapse, you know, I had friends that were in OA and they were really pushing and pushing and pushing. And why don't you come back? And why don't you come back? And how come you're not coming back? And, you know, it just pushed me farther and farther away from them. Like I kept telling them, I'm on my own path. And when I'm ready, I will come. You will be the first person I will call, but I am not ready. And this went on for 8 years. And, you know, when I came back this time, it was different. You know, I had people that didn't push and push, but just were gentle and said, hey, you know, this is what I do. And I was attracted to that. And I found vision and wow, it just completely different. And you know, now this time around, if somebody asked me what I'm doing, people have said, you're different. What's different? And you know, and I tell them, but I'm not a cheerleader. I don't go out and try to find people anymore. I just, if somebody asks what I'm doing, I will tell them and I will share my experience, but I don't go out and try to, you know, recruit people. My husband is in the food and, you know, and I just show up and I do what I do. And, you know, if he wants to come, great. And if he doesn't, I'm not going to push him. And that was a big lesson for me over those 8 years. Maybe I needed that. I don't know. But that was what really struck me in these two paragraphs. So thank you very much. And I pass.
Thank you, Deborah P. Robin P., please share with us.
Hi, this is Robin. May I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much for leading the meeting, and God bless everybody. I'm Robin P. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. And, you know, I feel so passionate about this. I've sponsored a bunch of people. I've been sponsored, thank God, and you know, my sponsor asked me one question: are you desperate enough to go to any lengths to recover? And I said, yes. And when I've asked that question, some people I can just, there's, they don't know. And that's, I think the gift of desperation is a true gift, and the gift of hitting bottom is such a blessing. And I can't give that to anybody. They just have to hit bottom. And, you know, and when I sponsor someone, I just say, look, are you willing to do, share the gift that's been so freely given with you? Are you willing to pick up the phone and send the food? Are you willing to, you know, share at meetings? And are you willing to sponsor other people once you've gone through the steps? And, you know, they say yes. And then I've experienced sometimes where some people aren't willing to take people through the steps after they've been taken through the steps. And that, you know, I've had to do 10 steps over it because it upsets me. And I can't, you know, I don't want to have a resentment. So I give it, you know, I work my 10, step 11, 12, and let it go. But it's really important to me that, you know, I believe that we carry the message. We can't carry the person. And we really just get to, you know, it's rinse and repeat. You know, like everything that I learned from my sponsor, I share. I pass it on. What was freely given to me, I freely give. And, you know, my sponsor, she'll just say, look, it's so important that people pass it on, you know, and we can't keep what we don't share. We can't keep it if we don't give it away. And I think that's so important. And I'm so grateful for my sponsees. You know, and when someone is ready and they've hit bottom, they're so ready and joyful and such a wonderful experience. And it's such a blessing. It's just pure joy. And when someone's not ready and you feel like, you know, they're just so resistant and they're so not ready, there's nothing you can do but go help someone who is. And that's been a big lesson for me about the codependency part. You know, I've tried to carry people sometimes and it doesn't work for me. So I can just carry the message and just, that's all I can carry. And it is attraction, not promotion, that's for sure. God bless everybody in your recoveries. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin P. Ashley W., please share with us.
Hi, this is Ashley. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, so I am, I've been in and out of the program, dabbled in and out, so I feel a little nervous to share, but I, right now, this is I'm beginning the third week of going to meetings, and so I got on this meeting, and I heard what you said, you can only share about what we're reading about, and so I thought, oh, well, you know, I probably won't have anything to say, but unbelievable, higher power to have you read that paragraph, because I literally have an alcoholic in my life that told me last night they are taking their safety guards away because, quote unquote, you know, they've got it. They can figure it out. So this morning I prayed, how am I going to understand my feelings about this without eating them? And then you guys talk about it. It's like the higher power, unbelievable. The one message I heard in there was, be patient. So I am just going to, and then so when you asked for people to share, which, you know, haven't even shared a lot, but I just felt like I had to give the glory to higher power, because to have me to get on this meeting, to hear that message that I am just to be patient, that person's illness is that person's illness and my illness is my illness. And so I guess I would just, you know, put it out there that higher power, I just want more understanding of how to have a relationship with someone, because this person is in my inner circle. So I have to have a relationship when I just feel so angry that they're so, you know, not being honest about their disease. And just that willpower piece, just, you know, ego is saying, oh, yeah, you got it. And I have had to go down the, when they go down the toilet, you know, I've gone down the toilet with them and gotten it back out. So anyway, so I just felt that I had to give the glory to the higher power for this meeting, for the message. I'm just going to try to sit and be patient, and I'm hoping higher power will continue to give me instruction and encouragement of how I can keep my sobriety without having to get codependent with this person. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashley W. We have time for one and maybe two shares. Who would like to share?
Bonnie M.
Bonnie
K.
Bonnie M. and Stacy. Thank you. Okay, Bonnie, share with us.
Yeah, I'm listening to this, and I remember when I came back into the program in the originally in the 80s. What I heard was the only requirement for membership is a desire to quit eating compulsively. And I was not desperate. But I want you to know I have stayed in all those years. And I have, I've learned and I've grown. And in doing so, it led me to vision. And so for me, I think there's so many people out there that may not be as desperate. However, I need to be patient. And I always say the only requirement for membership is a desire to quit eating compulsively. Is that true for you? And then I talk about how I was also told to trust the process, because I have trusted the process, not in the beginning so much, but it didn't take long for me to do so because I saw the recovery there, and people had what I wanted, and I wanted to learn and grow. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Bonnie M. Stacy Kerr, please share with us. Stacy K. Yes.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Kathy. I'm Stacy K. I'm a compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I just wanted to put my two cents in. I'm so passionate about working with others, and I love it, and I want to be helpful today. That's amazing from the self-centered, you know, egotistical person, you know, because when I first came here, I just wanted to, you know, get better. I didn't really think about others. And when I first started working with others, I have to say that it wasn't all that. You know, it was about saving my butt, and it was about following the directions and doing, you know, what my sponsor strongly suggested. You know, when that changed, it you know, this psychic change continues for me. Continues. I continue to learn how to be more effective sponsor, to grow in understanding, and I only get to do this because I'm practicing, right? I'm practicing. I'm following the directions, and this change comes over me that today I love you all, and I want to be helpful, and that's a miracle. It's a miracle in itself that. That I feel that deep down inside, you know, the language of the heart really means a lot to me, and how we connect with one another, and that I can show up and listen. So thank you all. Thank you all for being here. And that's all I have. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Stacy K. It's now time for us to close the meeting. I want to say a special thank you to Nancy T., Susan S.I., Stephanie L., Liat T.D., we now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 1. Anyone who's unmuted, please mute. A lot of background noise, and I will ask Liat T.D. to unmute and read on page 164.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can, Liat.
You might hear background noise also. It's probably me. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit what you have not got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and granted great events will come to pass to you and countless others. This is the fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand Him. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and we will surely meet some of us, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.